At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE. Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
TRE in the afternoon. Presented by Hannah Murray.
Good afternoon. It's just coming up to 10 past five. You are listening to Women Talk. With me in the studio today is Marina Bruce, Mary Carmen and Veronica Del Cerro. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Thank you all for coming in. There's something I wanted to talk about that just suddenly came to me when I was chatting to Richard of a programme that I'm watching, Celebrity Traitors. I don't know if any of you are into it. It's so addictive. And something happened on last night's episode that I thought was shocking, but worth kind of discussing as to whether it was actually that shocking or not. So a lot of the celebrities are that little bit older. I'd say kind of on average 55 plus, let's say. And so one of the girls in it, Kat, who's doing really well, is, I imagine, her late 20s, possibly early 30s, but probably late 20s. And basically there was this task and she had to pick one of the actresses that she thought somebody else on the programme had worked with before. There was Rebel Wilson, there was Helen Mirren, Dame Judi Dench, and somebody else who I can't remember, but that other person was of the same ilk and age, if you like, of Helen Mirren and Judi Dench. And she said, "Who's Judi Dench?" No, "Who's Helen Mirren?" she said. And everyone went, and I thought, oh my goodness, that is so shocking. And then I thought, is it?
Right, yeah.
I mean, how much are we supposed to know, and supposed to is a, you know, odd way of putting it, about things that happened before we were born? You know, how much of it is our responsibility or our parents' responsibility to show us films or books or to learn about history or all these kind of things that happened before we were born? Because it's quite normal to, as you're growing up, you watch films that are just coming out. You listen to music that's just coming out. That's certainly what I did when I was younger. But I've heard of loads of film stars from the 30s, 40s, 50s and 60s, right, you know, way before I was born, without having even seen the films. I don't think you need to watch all of the films in order to know who they are. I'm well aware of all the big stars of Hollywood and who they married, and, you know, I could answer quiz questions about them all having not seen the film. And what are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's a bit of both. I mean, for example, I've never watched Gone with the Wind or Casablanca, and I haven't either. Cult classic. Yeah.
Casablanca is so good.
Now you're going to put me to shame.
Yeah. No, they're one of those, I haven't either, but I could tell you what they're both about, and who acts in them, and what awards they won, and everything else. Yeah.
So, I guess it's... I mean, I think I'm fairly well educated on things that have happened, you know, especially... Yeah, films, film stars, but I don't know, what do you guys think?
I think it's in well, also for reference, also in perspective, I did a show last year, and the girl who was playing with me, I was talking about a particular rom-com that I love, because I love rom-coms, and I was talking about Julia Roberts, and she said, "Who?" She was like 29 or something. Yeah. And this is in the States.
Wow.
So, I was like, what? My face probably went white. I was like, you don't know Julia Roberts. She was like, I don't know who you're talking about. Who?
Wow.
So, Helen Mirren, I would expect, like, that's like, okay, well,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly. I went and got my nails done a few, I don't know, 6 months ago or something, and was chatting with the girls that were in the salon, and they were in that, one was in their 20s, one was in their 30s, and they were talking about boys and dating and stuff like that. It was fascinating. and they were asking me about my job, and anyway, I mentioned David Walliams because I was hoping to arrange an interview with him, which didn't end up happening, and they both went, who's David Walliams? And again, I was, okay, so he's a British, very, okay, sorry, very, very famous in the UK.
British comedians.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think also we come from a world that is very small. When I remember when I was a child, I went to study television and radio because I like cinema a lot. So I had this background. My father liked cinema as well, so I know a lot from him. But the world was smaller. Hollywood was all you know. But now cinema is all around. It's self-produced, amateurs, everything. You can't do cinema in your own house. Some people are using cinema through the internet. So that's more a wider range than just the people from Hollywood,
right?
Julia Roberts or whatever, you know. Right. So maybe it's not that they don't. Maybe that girl is not interested in cinema. Maybe is just interested in another kind of cinema. Yeah. Who knows? I don't know.
I mean, I can say that there's probably a certain freedom of not knowing, but then I would say that history tells us that you're bound to repeat the same mistakes that we did before. So why reinvent the wheel? Yeah. But I also just think it's also like being, I personally like knowing more and like curiosity. I think it talks more about curiosity.
I think when you've got, because we've seen a lot of obviously reality television in the last 10, 20 years or so. And I just think it's really sad to think that there's a generation that have grown up with reality television and that might be all they watch, listening to new music, watching reality television. They could tell you about all the influences, all the stars of Love Island throughout the seasons, all that kind of stuff, but yet they wouldn't be able to tell you who Helen Mirren is, for example. You know what I mean? And I think sometimes it's a product of just the generations and technology, and you know, I think it's wrong to blame young people for using too much technology, because I think if we all had mobile phones when we were growing up, the issues would be exactly the same. I don't think it's fair to blame young people. It's just what they've been given.
The world is different now. There are lots of influencers that, well, I don't know, last year in Christmas, an influencer was selling this calendario with chocolates in it. And it was like, and who is this man? But there was this boy of 6 years old, please buy to me this calendar of this influencer. And it's like, I don't know these people.
Yeah.
I don't know them. But it's another world completely different to when I was growing up.
Yeah. Because I would say I don't think I could name one influencer. And also, I think one of you mentioned music. I mean, I don't think I could mention any names of someone in K-pop. And that seems to be really, really popular. Yeah. It's come over to Europe.
100%.
And I have no idea.
Me neither. 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I get we're all interested in what we're interested in, and that's kind of normal. But yeah, it's that curiosity thing. And it always strikes me when doing quizzes how sometimes, you know, you can get a group of people, often of different generations, so it's not an age thing. And you know, blank, 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 you know, they won't answer so many questions because they don't know. They can't give an answer. And I think,
they just leave it blank, though?
Yeah.
Put something.
Not many people. Normally people who are on holiday. But and think that it's too hard and...
A joke answer, anything.
Yeah, exactly. But Noah, I think how have you got through this much of your life, particularly when they're older people, not knowing these things? You know, I find it
interesting. It's shocking.
Shocking. Well, and it's a deeper subject, but yeah, I think it's in curiosity, but it's also like putting it. It goes into like what stuff we're putting into our brain and just
being oversaturated with information and how much are we actually retaining?
But we don't need to be. Like, we have control over what we watch and don't watch.
Yeah.
We do, actually. And we can say, no, I'll turn it off and go for a walk. I don't need my phone right. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So maybe it's showing that. Maybe we need to just do that more. And then, That could be an option.
I think lack of curiosity is a real issue for a lot of people, I guess. Whether it's music, film, geography, you know, a lot of people, you know, have no clue in geography.
Yeah,
shockingly so.
But also I think all has a limit. Myself, I am a very curious person. The other day I was looking to try to get into the degree of chemistry.
Oh, okay. Okay. Random.
Because I love, honestly, the only thing I like from science in the high school was chemistry. And I was thinking, oh, maybe now is the time to do chemistry. And I was like, Mary, stop. You have enough in your plate. You have a job. You are doing courses. You have your house. Enough. But curiosity, you have to put the handbrake as well sometimes. Yeah. You know, like, okay, I don't know this. I don't need to know. I can't sleep now. Tonight, even without knowing it,
probably just watch a YouTube video.
Yeah. Learn chemistry in 5 minutes. Guess what? I know chemistry now. Well done, Mary. Brilliant.
That's funny.
There's an article here talking about the Sunday roast. Now, this is a very British thing, so it's interesting to hear the different comparisons. So the article says it's no secret that Britons love a takeaway at the weekend, but it seems traditions do prevail, with Sunday roasts still topping the list of the nation's favourite dinners. Other classic kitchen staples regularly on the menu include toad in the hole, corned beef hash, and bubble and squeak. A poll of 2,000 adults found 2/3 cooked for loved ones using recipes passed down through the generations.
You said toad on what?
So
it does. So toad in the hole doesn't involve any toads.
All right.
Yeah. Just so you know. No, so it's basically, so you know, I remember you and Dave talking about Yorkshire puddings.
Yeah.
So toad in the hole is basically like a tray of one big Yorkshire pudding.
Ah.
With sausages sticking all in it.
Oh, wow.
That's toad in the hole. Yeah, your face. I don't think she's going to be trying it anytime soon. And you'd have it with gravy and...
Yeah. Oh, I like gravy.
Very
I like
British.
Gravy.
Yeah. I mean, I like it like once a year, like on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Like that's when I would...
What, would there be an equivalent in America?
Yeah, I don't know America, but in my family it would be Sunday, like parrishada, like a barbecue. Sí. Barbecue doesn't sound the same as, for some reason, in my head as asado. No, it's like a little bit different, but that would be it.
Okay, so, and that's something you'd sort of traditionally do on a Sunday.
Yeah, if it's a nice day and you have it, it doesn't have to be a Sunday per se, but if it's like a weekend day and it's nice outside, then
And a specific, would you have specific meats and the same thing or?
Yeah, now I don't eat meat, but so it's more fish, or vegetables before probably. I think for kids, probably you have the hamburgers and things, and you have, you know, the ritual of putting the table outside and that kind of thing. So,
What about you, Mary? Is there a Spanish associated with the weekend?
Well, paella.
Yeah.
All right.
La paella. Yeah. Long time ago, I went to see my grandmother, who is not with us anymore, but when we went on a weekend, she had the paella. Yeah. The best paella in the world. The best paella was my abuela Antonia. Honestly, she was amazing.
Oh, have you got the recipe?
Yeah.
No, I don't have it. I wanna get it. Yeah, I wanna get it. But no, I don't have it. Yeah.
Oh, and also in Argentina, we had Sunday tea time.
Okay.
A big tea time. So
like
it was like
merienda.
It was just tea and cakes and a lunch goes into tea. We had a very, very big family, so it was just like every Sunday, that sort of thing. But it wasn't the roast.
But you are from Argentina.
Yeah, but
then asado,
English.
Asado is every day then.
It's every day eating meat.
I come back from work. Okay, let's do a barbecue. Okay, are you free 5 minutes? Yeah, let's do a barbecue here.
True. Has one in the backyard. It's like part of our.
If there is no backyard in the middle of the living room, let's do a barbecue here.
True.
Have you had any traditions over the years?
Not really. I mean, I don't eat meat either, so the Sunday roast passed. But no, and also I don't have family living down here in Spain. So I, you know, sometimes it's lunch with some friends on Sunday.
Oh, you should come over for a barbecue.
And I think it's not with friends here. I mean, I would say here in the south of Spain, you know, it's hot.
Mm.
So
A roast in summer is...
Yeah, oh no, definitely not. But did you have them growing up?
Well, my family's from a little bit all over, not British, actually. So, no, I don't think we had any special... We used to have sort of like apple tart, always for dessert on a Sunday. Oh, don't know why. But as for the main course, it was just, I think, good food and sitting around the table with the family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But something specific.
So we all seem to gather.
Yeah,
yes.
We gathered, but yes. we never had. I didn't have a roast dinner. I don't think until I was in my 20s.
Oh, really?
Until I came to Spain, it wasn't something.
Until you came to Spain.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Bizarrely.
Yeah,
It wasn't. It wasn't something. I mean, my mum was sort of vegetarian and vegan throughout most of her life. So you know, the only time anybody would be carving some meat was a turkey at Christmas, and that was it. I never saw big chunks of.
What about the full English breakfast? Is that a usual Sunday thing, or is that something everybody does all the time?
I don't recall that.
Every day.
I mean, I might be wrong, but I don't recall ever having that at home. I think I used to have that at my grandma's sometimes as a treat, but yeah. I don't remember having that.
I mean, I think from what I understand, it's either yes, as a sort of one-off, you have the English breakfast, or if you're working like a more physical job, then you have an English breakfast, you know, greasy food.
Greasy spoon cafe.
Going for the rest of the day, but I don't think it's a sort of staple every morning.
No.
A full English breakfast.
But do English people call it English breakfast, or you just call it breakfast?
That's a good question.
And the Brazilian.
It's called a full English breakfast.
It's called a full English. You describe it as such,
Full English breakfast.
Yeah. Just breakfast. Yeah.
That's like we call English tea, you know, like the tea is English. We call it English. And so breakfast, English breakfast tea.
Yes.
But you just call it tea.
Well, no, because you can get you can get specific Twinings English breakfast tea.
Oh, okay.
Or you can get, you know, people like their Yorkshire tea.
Right.
So people are quite specific with their tea.
Very specific, I'd say. Yeah, I'm very specific. I'm a diehard Earl Grey fan.
Are you?
And sometimes a black, you know, like a good sort of Yorkshire
like
or. Mm. Or PG tips in winter.
Then I'm going to give you... I have a box of Yorkshire tea in my house.
Please.
I had it because there was no red tea in my house. I cannot be without red tea. And I say, okay, I'm going to take this to try. It was so strong, I couldn't eat it.
It's very strong.
I couldn't drink it. So I'm going to give it to you, Marina. Thank you.
I have a whole shelf filled with lots of different black teas, herbal teas, red, green, any colour you can think of.
That's nice.
And decaf coffee.
We better take a break.
Talk Radio Europe. Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Women Talk. With me in the studio today is Marina Banus, I was going to say. That's really funny. Marina Bruce, Mary Carmen and Veronica Del Cerro. I'm sorry, that just came out. That's really funny. Okay, we were talking about breakfast. This is a whole new level. Foodies are breakfasting like kings, enjoying high-end morning meals instead of posh lunches or dinners. Luxury sunrise dishes have sparked a 14% year-on-year rise in the number of those dining at dawn. Leading the way is a £42 speciality Wagyu croissant, combining the traditional French staple with Japanese Wagyu beef, available at the patisserie at the Barclay in London's Knightsbridge. And at Michelin-starred Hyde restaurant in Mayfair, diners can tuck into lobster Benedict for £70 or truffled scrambled eggs on toast for £58. Egg on toast.
It's truffle, isn't it?
Yeah,
I cannot believe that. Honestly.
Make me laugh.
I guess the lobster. I could see that.
Yeah.
Lobster.
Lobster for breakfast?
I'd eat all of those things, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It's just I wouldn't want to pay that much.
No.
Yeah, but if you live a lifestyle where money is no object.
Oh, 100%. I'd have no qualms whatsoever. Yeah.
It is true, isn't it?
But that's... Oh, I don't see that right, because then you lose... Oh, I think I will lose the perspective of where the food comes from.
Yeah.
It's food. Lots of people cannot eat in a daily basis.
Yeah.
And you're paying £42 for a gold croissant. I don't understand that. I don't know. It's food. It's not Agree.
It is crazy, but I mean, it's the way of the world, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, if you live, this is the thing, where you're born and the life that you're born into, you can't change it, you know.
No.
How you live your life, you know. If you're born into wealth or you're born into poverty, that's not a choice.
Yeah.
But how you live your life obviously is a choice.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a foodie per se, but I will say that I really like chefs and regard them as artists in themselves. Mm-hmm. So like, if you're a really good chef, you are, what you do is artistry.
Yeah.
So they should be paid as such. I mean, I guess it just depends on where you put yourself.
And I love breakfast. It's my favorite meal of the day.
Yeah.
If I can afford lobster and truffles, well, why not?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely, I would. I used to think, many years ago, I used to think that spending money on tasting menus and food like this was absolutely criminal and ridiculous. Now I'm totally obsessed and do it as much as I can.
Do you watch Chef's Table?
No, we watch quite a few other cooking shows, though.
Oh, my God, I'm
but
obsessed.
But not Chef's. Really?
I am obsessed.
Oh, we've just started watching this Australian one, which is really bizarre, but really,
really
good.
Yeah,
we love, we love the food.
Yeah, but I can see the creativity and the artistic thing of cooking. Don't get me wrong, that's very specialized.
Yeah.
But we kind of get crazy. Is food, did you just thank the food? Did you just thank the animal that has died for you to eat?
Yeah.
And no more than that. Don't put more sauce on the issue. I mean, that's my point.
I suppose all these things here, they're talking about expensive ingredients.
Right? Yeah.
You know, it's not like a cheese and toast, cheese and ham sandwich that they're selling for £50 or something. You know, they are expensive ingredients.
Although I think that has been heard of too, hasn't it? Hasn't Gordon Ramsay done some...
Oh, really?
Not cheap, but he did something quite sort of basic and, you know, was charging a fortune. I remember seeing
it in
the
club sandwich or something.
On the other hand, I mean, like, sometimes I think it's too cheap. I mean, now it feels like it's gone
to a blaze. So expensive.
If you think about, if you've ever had to grow a carrot, do you know how much effort it is?
Yeah, 100%.
We had a Thanksgiving one carrot one time. it takes, you know, there's a certain thing of respecting that as well.
Definitely.
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Definitely. We take a lot of it for granted, don't we? Food.
Yeah. That's what I mean. We take it for granted.
Whether it's animal products or even vegetables, as you say, somebody has grown it or it's an actual life that's given itself. So we need to respect our food a lot more.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, some years ago, a friend of mine lived in Ojen behind La Cañada, and she had a little finca and she tried growing, you know, the dream, the tomatoes and all this. And it actually was working out more expensive with the watering and all this and also her time than going to buy in the supermarket.
Wow.
And sadly, and she was, you know, it really upset her, but sadly she stopped because it was just too much effort for the little that she was getting.
That's really true. Yeah, because a lot of people think it's the dream, you know, living off grid,
having hard work.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
This is an interesting piece. It seems not every, but a lot of famous people are producing their own wine, or somebody's producing wine and they're putting their name on the label. Gary Barlow of Take That has got his £8 bottles of wine in Tesco's and Morrison's, but some upmarket clubs in Mayfair and other places in London has said, no, we don't want to stock your wine. Most of our clients spend between £50 and £500 on a bottle of wine. Yours isn't, you know, the quality isn't good enough. I just wondered how you feel about kind of celebrity wines, whether you would be interested to try it, whether it would depend on the celebrity, or whether you would just be like, no, this is gimmicky.
Well, I think the biggest, latest one is Meghan Markle with her wine.
She
did I think she's done a white and a rosé. I might be mistaken, but I think she's done a couple. And of course, you know, that's just for who she is. That was very discussed.
She's trying everything,
in the media,
isn't she? I mean,
to put it politely.
I'm more interested in not wines, but celebrity, like tequilas. There's quite a few tequilas. I mean, like, those are kind of interesting. It's like, I wonder what you're doing with that. Not so much wine.
Eva Longoria has
exactly.
one. Have you tried it?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I've sold it, but I haven't tried it. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I'm a sucker for marketing, to be honest. So if it's marketed well, and so Kylie Minogue has a rosé, for example, and it just says Kylie on it. And I've never bought it. I have seen it a few times and just thought, oh, it was really gimmicky. But I've seen at various kind of celebrity parties and things in London that everybody's drinking it. And it's I've seen videos that have been put up, people I know. And I thought, oh, well, if everyone's drinking it, it must taste okay.
Right.
So next time I see it, I'm going to buy it. But I wouldn't buy it just because it says Kylie, even though I'm a big Kylie fan.
Yeah.
I just assumed it probably wouldn't taste great.
Well, what about with perfumes and things like that?
Oh, that's also...
Yeah. Would you use it? Would you try it?
Every celebrity has a perfume now. Right.
Well, yeah, no, good investment, not at my age. I feel like that's kind of more aimed... I mean, sorry if I'm speaking out of turn, but I feel like that's more aimed at younger.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
I feel as a... I don't call myself an older woman. My God. But I feel at a certain age, I'm not going to go, oh, J-Lo's got a perfume now. I'll listen to her music, but I don't necessarily want to smell like
her. But they all have makeup line. You should see the money
Victoria
these women are making.
Beckham.
Yeah? Did you see the documentary?
Oh, really good. £36 for an eyeliner.
Yeah.
And it's sold out.
Oh, my goodness.
It's sold out. And it's a pencil eyeliner.
Right.
I don't believe that.
Yeah.
Incredible.
But there's a small part of me that's like, well, maybe it's really good. And I haven't.
Well,
but exactly. I'm like, well, if it's sold out, it must be good.
Yeah.
I actually always think about, I'm like, oh, if I, what avenue would I go to for my, would I have a makeup line or this line or what? And just definitely would be liquor. I would go for it. I would have my own liquor. I have an idea very clear of which.
Oh, wow.
Well,
you should do it.
Yeah.
I'd rather buy yours than Kylie's.
It'll happen. I'll let you know.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's true. It's funny. I saw something on social media today that was talking about the import. It was a meme that was shared. And it was talking about how easily we like on Facebook, whether it's Instagram or Facebook or whatever, we like celebrities' posts who we've never met.
Mm-hmm.
But don't always, I mean, this is what the post said, don't always support people we know as much, which is a really interesting point. You know, if you see a friend who's started selling something, launched a product, launched a podcast, launched, whatever, a lot of people seems to kind of go, oh, that's interesting. But then if some random celebrity has launched a podcast, you're like, yeah, well done, babe. It's ridiculous.
This is something I think goes into a deeper thing of cultural thing. I think it's very different for Americans. And talk about
is
this.
It?
Yeah, I think as a culture, we're much more supportive of one of each other.
Okay, that makes sense.
So we're always like, oh, yeah, you did good. And I think it's a part of it is quite cultural.
Maybe. I mean, if a friend started a business, I would 100% support them.
Absolutely.
I know what you're saying, Hannah.
You notice it, you know, when someone shares some good news or maybe even posts a photograph of themselves in a dress going to a party. Mm. You know, obviously celebrities do that all the time as influencers and get millions of likes from men and women thinking, what a nice dress, they look gorgeous or whatever. But for some reason, if somebody does it who we know, not everybody, I like to like and say you look gorgeous or whatever. So, it's nice that you do too. And I'm sure we're all the same in this room. But in general, you know damn well that people have looked at the picture and...
I think that they have this face that you just made of like,
I don't care. The listeners can't see your face. Expression there.
Whatever's going on in their head, they can't kind of bring themselves to like it or say you look nice. How do you feel? Would you think that happens in Spain, in Spanish culture, or not so much?
I think it happens the same in Spain. But I am not surrounded by people that I can see they do that.
Oh, no.
No, people around me are very, irreverent. Like, I don't give like to my uncle. I'm not going to give like to this person. I don't know it, I don't know that person.
Yeah.
But it's true that the celebrity sphere is very popular as well in Spain. But to me, it's not. It's like, I don't know this man,
Yeah.
I don't know if he kills puppies. I don't know
nothing,
I know nothing about this person. I'm not going to just follow it. So
no.
But that's my, maybe I'm a bit radical, but that's how I think. Yeah, no sé.
I feel like I take my likes pretty too seriously because I feel like I'm part of because I think it's part of the algorithm. So I'm just always like very purposeful with what I like or don't like because of algorithm stuff.
Yeah,
but it's like I just think it's it shouldn't be too, such a flippant decision. But yeah. I don't know.
Better take a break before we start talking about the C word. Christmas.
TRE. Hannah Murray. TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Women Talk. With me in the studio today is Marina Bruce, Mary Carmen and Veronica Del Cerro. Christmas. If you choose to embrace the festive season early, it could save you more than £100 on your Yuletide shopping. It's basically saying... The earlier you start your shopping, you know, you can spread the money out as opposed to doing it all in December and then having no money for the rest of the year type scenario. Mm-hmm. So how organized are you with your Christmas shopping?
I feel quite strongly about this one because I feel that every year Christmas comes around earlier and earlier, and soon we're going to be celebrating it in August.
I know.
By the time Christmas actually does come around, you're exhausted and saturated because you've been living it for 3 months. I don't know, what do you girls think?
That was going to be my point, and I'm going to hit the table.
We're all hitting the table.
Because bringing the Christmas stuff to the supermarket.
Stop hitting the table.
The whole studio falls
to
down.
The supermarket in October and September is a lack of respect. Honestly, it is.
Oh, yeah.
Lack of respect. You have
for
finished
humanity.
Yes. For humanity, for the time, for I don't know. For everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
so
I totally understand what you're both saying.
But
the issue of buying Christmas it depends how much, if you're only, you know, how many Christmas presents you get, but you know, if you're buying for multiple people, family, friends, things like that, if you leave it, for me anyway, if I left it all I couldn't afford to leave it all till December.
No, me neither.
So I buy throughout the year whenever I see things and then keep it in a cupboard.
There's also Black Friday, isn't there? I think is that in November or something.
Yeah,
I know quite a lot of people buy then their Christmas presents because you get some really good bargains.
Yeah. I buy normally in November and sometimes in October. If I see something that I know this person wants so much and I find it now, and now it's October or it's September, I buy it and I keep it until December. That's something I do.
Definitely.
But I try to buy them earlier, but not earlier in August, earlier in November, you know, earlier at the end of October.
But August have sales.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, it's efficient.
We can start January sales.
I frequently buy things in August sales and keep it in the cupboard for Christmas.
Oh,
yes.
You're more proactive. I'll have the thought like, oh, that's a great Christmas present to get. So then I start a list mentally.
Yeah.
But this, I mean, I will be out. Like the stress of like doing it right now is like, it's just too much. It's
but
like, I can't.
I just think it's more stressful to leave it to the last
minute.
You're right.
I agree.
No, but I'm really impressed that you do. Yeah.
I have a permanent present list on my phone with everyone who I ever buy presents for.
Yeah.
And if ever I'm in conversation with them and they go, oh, I really like her.
And you're not even a Virgo.
No. I'll write it down, and then when it comes to their birthday or Christmas, I'll refer to the list and go, oh yeah, they said they wanted a cheese grater. I will do that. And they'll go, how did you know I wanted this? And I'm like, oh, you mentioned it once.
But it's different that you buy the Christmas present with the year, with your economy. You're organizing your economy.
Yes.
But places, shops pushing you to buy Christmas in September. It's like pushing. No, man, that's not the way.
Especially when it's like 100 degrees outside.
Yeah.
And the thing is, once Halloween's over, that's it. It's going to be the big push to Christmas.
I'm excited.
I'm really excited.
I love it.
I'm getting an operation, so I am forced to sit down and watch Christmas movies.
Oh. Wow.
It's going to be so amazing.
I love how you've turned your operation to be a really
positive latitude.
So excited.
Christmas movies. Brilliant. What's your favourite Christmas movie?
I'm going to go with Home Alone because it's the one that, you know.
I think mine has to be Love Actually.
Oh, yes.
I have not watched it, never.
I don't get it.
No.
You don't get it.
No, I'm not really? A fan, like, no. at all. I would much go Bridget Jones over...
Oh, yeah, I love Bridget Jones.
Yeah, I like that one.
Bridget Jones 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Maybe 3.
but out there now? So like I've lost
55.
Track of
it. 4. No, Love Actually, I'm not... Mm.
Really? Oh, I think film. It's so beautifully yeah. constructed. So many actors, and there's all different...
They're all interconnected.
Yeah, all interconnected. Yeah. And I think it's so cleverly done. Because watch it again, please.
I'm trying. I'm just like,
you're not trying.
It's the romance.
The Gary Potter, eight-pound bottle of wine.
Exactly. Get settled.
Harry Potter feels like a Christmas one, too.
Oh, no. Yeah. I didn't get Harry Potter.
Oh, no.
You didn't?
No.
Pain in my heart.
That's so weird.
I love Harry
you
Potter.
You mean the movies or the books?
Yeah, the movies. Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, I don't like the... Yeah, but... Oh, yeah.
I prefer
I'm
the
just
books.
Not into fantasy, that, Lord of the Rings, anything like
oh,
that.
You
doesn't
aren't?
For me at all,
you
no.
You always ask pub quiz questions on it.
Well, yes. I know all about them.
I thought you were like a huge fantasy fan. No, total
not at
shocker
all.
To me.
I much prefer something based on a true story.
Yeah,
I like imagining it could happen. You can't do that with Harry Potter.
No.
I might have liked it when I was a kid because I used to. I like the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
I grew up on that, so maybe if when I was a child, I probably would have loved Harry Potter. But as an adult, it doesn't do it for me at all. Mm. But I know lots of adults who do, so it's just me.
Yeah.
Okay. Most would call it criminal, but a job to organise the wardrobes of one well-off family's children has been advertised for almost twice the salary of a police officer. The parents, who live in the affluent Notting Hill area of West London, where Love Actually was filmed, are on the hunt for organisation with special attention taken to the children's clothing. 50 grand salary.
Well, I think...
Sorry, go on.
Well, I mean, maybe it's not just the what did you call it? Organizing
the clothes. They also need to wash and clean them.
Well, I was also going to say it's probably about, you know, discretion and, you know, it's not necessarily the job itself, as you are someone who, yeah, I don't know.
Good point.
Discreet.
Yeah.
No riffraff.
Yes, exactly. No riffraff. But I totally get Good this point. As a job because I interview a declutterer that comes on a few times a year and this is her job. She goes to people's homes. She goes through the wardrobes or the kitchen, you know, whatever. I love it. I think it'll be a great job to do.
I think it would be a great comedy show to watch me try to do that job. As someone with a huge ADD, like, to go through someone's glasses, it would take me years.
Would it really? You'd stand there going, I don't know what to do with this.
Oh, no, just sort of like, what is this? Where did this come from? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that the price or the money they pay is too much as well.
It is.
But well, I mean,
but
they
it's the
lot.
Point that Marina said is the discretion.
Yeah.
But I think, well, I heard some comedians, Spanish comedians, they were talking about a super wealthy man from Italy called Gianluca Montedoro. I don't know, remember. And this man had a nail stylist?
A manicurist.
A manicurist that came every day.
Oh.
Every day. And the comedian was saying, so he's cutting your nails at the same time and he's growing, so it's and he had a shower with taste, like taste to mint and taste to chocolate, the shower, and was like, oh my goodness, so if you want to pay the money for anything, even if it is to manicure your nails every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's absurd. Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, funnily enough, when I went on the India trip with 53 women, there was one woman who was a very wealthy businesswoman, and we went to, some of the hotels were kind of better than others. And she said, so how do we wash our hair? And we all kind of looked at her and were like, well, in the shower. And she said, I haven't washed my hair for 15 years.
No.
And we were like, oh, because she goes to the hairdresser twice a week and they wash her hair.
Yeah.
I cannot believe
that's very much.
So she gets her hair washed and blow dried twice a week.
Wow. Yeah. That's very relaxing, actually.
Yeah. I thought how lovely, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it was just such a statement. I haven't washed my own hair in 15 years.
Wow, amazing.
How old is she?
mid-40s.
Oh, wow, wow.
That's very young. Yeah. I thought she was going to be like 60 or 70
no,
or
no,
something.
No, mid-40s, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I've never had
well,
that
if, she can't do it, yes. Why not? It's,
yeah, exactly.
It's a treat.
But this is the point, isn't it? Whether you want your hair washed, whether you want a lobster breakfast, whether you want someone to sort out your clothes because you don't want to do it yourself.
Yeah.
If you can afford it, I wonder how many people... Honestly, if they had, you know, millions and millions in the bank, would be living exactly the same way as they are now.
Yeah.
I very much doubt it.
Yes. Yeah.
You adapt to what you have, I think. I'd assume most people. Veronica's really thinking about it. She's like, no, I'd be the same person.
No,
your standard of living would inevitably go up.
I mean,
I think that's just... You know, you'd get a slightly nicer, bigger car and maybe a slightly nicer, bigger house with a bigger garden. And, for example, I don't have a pool in my house. Maybe I'd buy a, you know, nice villa with a pool.
Exactly.
And then with that comes the pool cleaner and the gardener.
Yeah,
and
no pool.
No pool.
No, but it's true. It's one thing after another, isn't it? And even going shopping, you know, and never having to think about the cost of things.
Yeah.
You know, buying lobster or steak or the best organic vegetables or whatever it might be, just because this is what you want, as opposed to thinking, oh, I can't really afford that this month, or we had lobster last week, we'd better not go crazy, or whatever. you never have to think about those things.
Yeah. But because it's another at least for me, it's another reality. I mean, I'm not living under a bridge, you know, but life is so simple. Life is so simple. I am. But I don't know. It's another reality. I will need to experience that reality for me to be to understand.
Yeah.
In my head, doesn't understand at the moment.
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I'm sure it's understandable, but not for me.
We better take a break whilst we meditate being in that life.
I know.
Talk Radio Europe.
Your voice in Spain. Hannah Murray. TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the last part of today's Women Talk. I'm going to miss it. I feel like we could sit here for another few hours just chatting away. With me in the studio, we have Marina Bruce, Mary Carmen and Veronica Del Cerro. There's an article here talking about how to turn your basic bungalow into a chic dream home.
Oh,
and I interviewed...
Tell me more.
Yeah, I interviewed someone yesterday all about interiors and interior design and things like that. And I just wondered how much of it is something that you think about and have thought about over the years. You know, oh, we should paint the walls, or we should get some new art, we should do, you know, is it something you're bothered about? Is it something you do frequently, or have you never thought about it?
Well, I'm quite a homebody, so that for me is important. Especially my living room, that space for me is, I mean, I'm not saying it's, you know, looks like it's come out of a sort of magazine, but to feel cozy and to, you know, that I like that space and that it's done in the way that I like. Very simple. I mean, now I'm sounding like I've consulted with an interior designer, which I haven't. But yeah, I think that's important for me, to feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we have done a renovation of our house this year. And it's so funny because we live in the proper center of San Pedro, in una casa mata.
Ah, wow.
Yeah, but inside, because the renovation was made by my partner and his brother, and my brother-in-law is the project manager of big, expensive villas in La Sagaleta and all this.
Wow.
So we have the house of a rich people in a casa mata. So we have a bathroom that is about 9,000 euros or something like that. Amazing, beautiful, with the lights against the wall. We have the lights. So we have this double ceiling with the lights under.
I'm shedding a tear.
It's a beautiful... They were all experiments that they were trying to do, because they are very handy. They do all themselves, you know?
Yeah.
And all the electricity is built like in this villa. So it's very, very modern. But then you leave and it's a small house in the middle of San Pedro, you know, that has like 100 years. But then you get it and it's a space.
I like that.
Yeah. So, So I'm happy with the house, because before that it was awful. We had the cables outside. There was a piece of the cable that was broken, and in order to the cats avoid to eat it, we put it a bag against it.
So gone one extreme to another then.
So we have to put a bag so the cables weren't beaten by the cats.
Yeah.
And now this renovation, it's very beautiful, the house. Yeah. Aww. Yeah. And it's very cozy, and it's big.
Because can I come and shower in your house?
It's amazing.
This is why you're listening to the guy in his shower that you can taste different things. This is your shower, actually.
That's the next step. I'm telling my brother-in-law for the next month I want a strawberry flavor in my shower.
Now I see. It all comes out.
Is it something you're bothered about?
I think we go through cycles. I move so much. And so it's a little bit of like where I am. It's very fluid, and probably every once in a while, it's just like change it up for what is now. What is it now? You know, and it's usually get rid of stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't like stuff. And it's like getting rid of more and more and declutter. And that usually is what happens.
Many years ago, an ex-boyfriend of mine told me that, you know, when you're decorating or redecorating the living room, the most important thing is to have neutral colored curtains, because that's probably something that you'll never change. So if they're like a white or a cream or something very neutral, then it doesn't matter if you have a red sofa 1 year and the next sofa it's a green, next year it's a green sofa. Your curtains are always going to be fine. And I thought, I don't know where he got that from. I thought that was a really interesting tip.
That's good. Great advice.
Do you you did tiling in yours, didn't you?
We have done a bit, it's always a conversation as to whether we'd rather invest in the house or go on holiday, because you know what I mean. And we normally end up choosing holiday, there's kind of lots that, but it's not our house, we rent as well, so we've seen it sort of deteriorate over the years. And I was watering the garden the other day and I was like, oh, there's loads of bits like falling off the walls and things like that that we need to kind of get sorted. But I'd love to do a lot more. If it was our house, we'd do a lot more.
That has to do
a lot. Goodness,
Oh, you look like you'd want to do it. You really want to.
Chomping at the bit.
Yeah, I'm not chomping at any bit.
Oh, really? Okay, fair enough. There was a lovely article about David Beckham, who's loving the country life, living in the Cotswolds. He does gardening and things like that with his own fruit and vegetables. I just wondered whether that was the dream. Is that something that you aspire to do? Oh, really?
It's been the dream forever, I think. Well, one of the main problems here is the property prices, because you'd have to go really far inland. Even just to have a nice little, you know, 1,000 square meters of land with a house that's in semi-decent condition.
Yeah. 1 minute left, just so you know.
What do you girls say?
I have a patio in my house, and I have lots of plants. I love gardening. Yeah. I like gardening very much. But I don't grow vegetables, only plants and flowers.
Today I just ate a melon that I grew.
Melon?
Cucumbers. We have two avocado trees. We have a nispero.
Nispero. Que bueno.
Is impressive.
But all from seeds, actually. We just started because we've always liked that. We're like, we want to have plants. We want to have trees. And then we're just like,
that's so beautiful. I love that.
Let's just start planting it. And so now
I thought I was doing well with my mint.
To be fair, that's hard. I find that beautiful.
I love it when I make a salad and I'm like, I'll just get some mint from the garden.
That's cool.
It's nice. It's a mojito.
It's a salad, honest. We're at the end of the show, ladies. Thank you so much. Great show.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels, and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
CODA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.